All right, we're beginning here on Nindalat Amun Aleph, two lines down. The Gemara is continuing to discuss the machloka between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Our Mishnah is explicit about the fact that when you have an Eiver, Sheishba Basar Ki Ra'uy, if you have an Eiver that has the requisite amount of Basar associated with it, then it's Mitameh Ba'ohel. We also know that an Etzem Kisse Ora by itself is Mitameh Pemagawu Masah, not Ba'ohel. The question arises, and this is what Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing about, is that in case we have an Eiver that does not have Basar Ki Ra'uy, but it also does not have an Etzem Kisse Ora in there. So now it's not covered by the standard cases that we have in our Mishnah. What is the din? Rabbi Yochanan says, there's no Tumah. You don't have Etzem Kisse Ora. You don't have Basar Ki Ra'uy. You don't fit into Eiver. You don't fit into Etzem Kisse Ora. There is no Tumah. On the other hand, Reish Lakish says, even in that instance, there is Tumah. So the Gemara explained the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan's Shita is pretty straightforward. It doesn't fit into the categories that we have in the Mishnah, and therefore it's not Tameh. Reish Lakish, where does he get this view that this should be Tameh? So now we're in the midst of discussing that. Yesterday we quoted a Braita. We're about to quote another Braita. The Braita are split up along the lines of the Psukim that are found in Parshat Chukat, the first of which says, "V'chol sheyiga al pnei hasadeh b'chalal cherev o b'meit o b'etzem adam o b'kaver itma shivat yamim." That was the brayta that we brought yesterday, that darshan that pasuk dealing with tumat ohel. And again, we have halacha l'moshe misinai about what each of those items references. And even though it says "V'chol sheyiga," it's as if you touched. Nevertheless, because it says al pnei hasadeh, we believe that that's talking about tumat ohel. But then later on, when the psukim again go over these items again, lakach ezov v'tavav b'may mishtohor v'iza al oel v'alkol hakelim v'nefashot asher yosham, in the process of the tara, it says over there, from the one who became tamei, from v'anogea be'etzem o b'chalal o b'meit o b'kaver. So again, we have four different entities that become tamei. Here, the Braita is going to tell us that it's speaking about tumat maga, versus the first Braita, or the previous Pasuk that we quoted, which was speaking about Tumat Oel. Here we're speaking about Tumat Maga. And that's what we're up to here in the Gemara, which is, on the second line here, it says, V'ilu gavi nigia, when it comes to coming into direct contact with Tumah, I'm Rav Yehuda. Tanyo, we have a Braita. Now here, the quote is probably incorrect. You can see that it's in parentheses, because here it says, V'chol nogea, it's really al hanogea, be'etzem, o bechalal, o bemeit, o bekover. And now the Gemara starts to darshan. Be'etzem, ze etzem kisse ora. Talking about a bone, we're talking about the etzem kisse ora. This is the din that it's metameh tumat maga. O bechalal, ze eiver anechlal minachai, bein bol alot aruka. This is an eiver that detached from the chai. It's an eiver minachai. But here, ein bol alot aruka is that it doesn't have the ability to heal. It doesn't have the requisite amount of basar that's on the Eiver. So here you see that it is not mitameh bo'ol, it's only mitameh be'maga. O be'meit, what's the meit here? Ze Eiver anachlel min ha'meit. This is an Eiver that separates away from the meit. And again here, it has to be a case where doesn't have a sufficient basar to alot aruka, and therefore it's not subject to Eiver min ha'meit or Eiver min ha'chai in the previous limo, the previous breita, which is tumat oel. Here it's only subject to tumat maga. Obi kaver. Amar Reish Lakish, ze kever shelifnei ha-dibur. This is talking about the kever that was before the dibur, most likely matan Torah. Now, we'll come back and describe, we'll discuss that in a minute. Hai, Eiver min ha-meit, hechidami. What exactly is the situation here with this Eiver min ha-meit? It's clear here that we're talking about an Eiver that does not have Basar Ki Ra'uy, otherwise it already fits in the other Braita, and it says Tumat Oel. So that we know for sure that there's a deficiency here in the Basar Ki Ra'uy, so that it's not Mitamei Bo'el. But what type of Eiver? What's in this limb? What is there? Idrit Be Etzem Kisora. If it already has an Etzem Kisora in it, Hainu, Hainu Geya Be Etzem. That you already darshan from the earlier word in the Pasuk Be'etzem, which told you Etzem Kisora. So why do I need two times to tell me Etzem Kisora? Ella, Delepe Etzem Kisora. The situation here must be a case where there is no Etzem Kisora. Valhi Lil Hachi, Rahman Rabye. Nevertheless, the Torah includes it as something that is tameh. This is the source for Reish Lakish's opinion, that even when you have less than a etzim kisora, you do not have basar kiroi. If you have an aver min amet, then you have tumat magal masa, not tumat oel, because over here, you already have etzim kisora from the word etzim. That means that when the Braita says, o min amet, ze aver nechla min amet, it's gotta be talking about something else. That something else is a case where you have an aver that does not have basar kiroi and does not have an etzim kisora. Amar lecha Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan over here retorts and says, "Olam diipe." It's got to be a case where it's an etzim kisora. That's his shita. V'imenu inyan lemagao tmeyu inyan maso. Says no, you need this pasuk for some other reason, which is etzim kisora has two types of tumah associated with it. It has tumat maga, which is if you come into contact with it, but it also has tumat masa. Tumat masa means that even if you are carrying it and you're not necessarily in direct contact with it, it still will convey tuma to you. How do we know that that's the case? Rabbi Yochanan says that's from here. You have be'etzem, ze'etzem kisora. O be'meit, ze'evra nechlam and amet. But in essence, it's etzem kisora again. Why have it twice? One for tumat maga, one for tumat masa. But that's not what it says. Rabbi Enu inyan lemago. The pasuk's talking about maga, tumat maga, and that's the way we're darshaning the braita. If it's not the inyan magol, because we already have etzem kisora, tnei uin in the maso, then use it for masa. You're right, eno chanami, the braita and the pasuk are talking about tumat negiyah, but nevertheless, since I already have tumat negiyah from the word etzem, now I'm going to include from this extra limud by negiyah, which is a repetition of what was before. I'll say, since I don't need it for negiyah, I'm going to use it for masa. Now for Reish Lakish, it's interesting, Reish Lakish has to learn that from somewhere as well. The Gemara doesn't address how Reish Lakish knows the fact that etzim kisora is mitameh b'masa. The Bali HaTosafot over here say that he must have another limud or another pasuk that he learns it from, because it's not at all obvious that just because you have tumat maga that you have tumat masa. So Reish Lakish has to have another source, which isn't from here. And because he has another source, he's able to use the ribui over here to say that even when you don't have an etzim kisora by an aver, that would be mitameh tumat maga. So the Bali HaTosafot asks your question, not exactly similar to your question. He says, "V'ksat kasha, timkei mai kamar obemeit zeiver anechla min amet v'idbo kiseora lema zu etzem kiseora." He basically says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who's now lifting that different limud to teach you etzem kiseora is basically repeated twice, and since it's repeated twice, once for maga and once for masa. He says, then why does the Braita change its language by the limud? It has be'etzem, ze'etzem kisora. O be'chalal, ze'ever minachal minachai. Ve'im bolalot arukan. Then o be'meit, it should say, ze'etzem kisora again. Instead, it changes, it says, ze'ever minachal minameit, as if that's a different category completely. And that's along the lines of what you're suggesting here, that it's not so simple the way Rabbi Yochanan's reading the Braita. And again, it's also a different tuma than the remainder of the Braita. Reish Lakish is reading of the Braita, therefore, is more simple in terms of the superficial reading of the Braita. It's more difficult because now he creates a new category of Tuma, which is something that's not Etzim Ksora, that doesn't have Basa Kira Oy, and all of a sudden that Aver also has Tumat Maga. Now, we have to go back here to Obi Kover. Obi Kover over here, it says, Reish Lakish, Ze Kever Shalifnei Adibur. This is a kever that's Nei Dibur. This is a grave that is only mitamei b'maga, but not mitamei b'ohel. So what exactly is that scenario? What is the case? What is it speaking about over here? So the Mifaresh says, what does that mean, kever lifnei adibur? What does it mean, kever before matan Torah? Klomar, she'ovdei kochavim mitamim b'maga, afal pi she'im mitamim b'ohel. That ovdei kochavim are mitamei b'maga with direct contact, but not b'ohel. Kedetanyu, because we have a braita, kivrei obdei kochavim emitamim boel elam negiyah. They're not mitamei boel, only with negiyah. V'chol shaya kodem adibur. Anything that's before the dibur means kodem matan Torah. Ben shel obdei kochavim, ben shel Yisrael kari le kever ben Noach. Any person that passed away before matan Torah has a din of what's called kever ben Noach, or basically a kever of obdei kochavim. The kever of a non-Jew after Matan Torah is equivalent to what it was before Matan Torah. The only people that changed are Bnei Israel, who got the Torah. And in getting the Torah, their din with regards to Tumat Ohel changed. So what the Mefarei suggests over here is that what it means, that Zekever Lifnei HaDibur means, this is what the din was prior to Matan Torah. And that din is equally applicable to Jews and non-Jews before Matan Torah, which is that they were only mitamei tumat maga, they were not mitamei tumat ohel. After Matan Torah, then this is basically following the shita of Rabbi Shimon, who believes that tumat ohel is only applicable to Bnei Israel, based on the pasuk in Yechezkel, which says that atem kuim adam, that you're called adam, atem tzon mariti, that you, my tzon mariti, are called adam, but the goyim are not called adam. And Parshat Chukat begins with Adam ki yamut be'ohel. So now, if it's an Adam, then who's the Adam that is referred to the Torah? Adam ki yamut be'ohel. Who's that Adam that's being referenced to here in Parshat Chukat is Bnei Israel, but not an Uvdei Kochavim. So basically, what the Mefaresh does is sets up the sugya here according to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, which is that Tumat Ohel does not apply to Uvdei Kochavim. And why is it termed here, if it's going back, the kever of Novei Kochavim, why is it termed as Lifnei HaDibur, that which was before Matan Torah? Because anybody before Matan Torah has the din of Novei Kochavim after Matan Torah, which is that they're only Tamei Tumat Maga, not Tamei Tumat Ohel. So that's how the Mefarish explains what Reish Lakish is saying over here. It does present certain problems which are raised in the Gemara and other places, one of which is the famous stories in Baba Batra about the fact that they were mitzayin the kvarot, and they were mitzayin machrata machpelah. They were mitzayin all of these locations as if to indicate that there was tumah in these locations. And you only mitzayin a kever because of tumat ohel, not because of tumat maga. So according to Rabbi Shimon, who thinks there is no tumat ohel, then you have to deal with those stories. Either they didn't hold like Rabbi Shimon, or you have to come up with an alternate explanation for those issues. And here Tosafot brings the Riva, who has a different suggestion about how to read this. Vomer Riva, the Shapir Karye Adam, Adam Arishon, v'Avraham HaAdam HaGadol BaAnakim. That the word Adam, even though the way that Rabbi Shimon darshens it, applies only to Bnei Israel, not to Ovdei Kochavim. And, as the Mefarish explains, that means anybody prior to Matan Torah has that din. Well, that means that Adam HaRishon, Avram Avinu, don't have Tumat Ohel, and then why were they Mitzayin Marata Machpelah? So he suggests that that's not true. Adam HaRishon was called Adam. That's his name. Avram is also called an Adam because he's Adam Gadol Banakim. He's such a great man. They have this Tawar, this description, not because they're Bnei Israel, but because of the uniqueness of their standing. Inami, Kasaver mi kever shalifnei adibur, nerabek kever shalachar dibur, meaning that what the Riva is suggesting over here is the reason that there is Tumat Ohel, Tumarat Machpelah, is either because of the unique standing of those that are buried there, and they are termed Adam as well, or after Matan Torah sheds light on before or prior to Matan Torah, which is that until now we believe, the way the Mefresh explained it is, after Matan Torah there are two paths. There's the path of Bnei Israel, which is Tamei Tumat Ohel. There's the path of the Ovdei Kochavim, which is only Tamei Tumat Maga. Then we look at that and we say, prior to Matan Torah, there was only one path, or one way to go, which was that it was not Mitamei Ohel, it was only Mitamei Maga, because everybody before Matan Torah is similar to the Ovdei Kochavim after Matan Torah. What the Riva suggests over here is that what happened after Matan Torah sheds light on what happened prior to Matan Torah, which is that once Matan Torah told us that there is Tumat Ohel, that means that before Matan Torah, there was also Tumat Ohel. And Matan Torah just simply divided it up. Now you can understand that in one of two ways. One is to say that before Matan Torah, everybody was Matamei Tumat Ohel. Matan Torah came along and said, now, for henceforward, only Bnei Israel are Matamei Bo'o. Everybody else is only Matamei B'maga. That it changed at that point. Or you could argue that prior to Matan Torah is influenced by after Matan Torah, just like there's a division between Ovdei Kochavim and Bnei Israel after Matan Torah, there's a similar division that is there prior to Matan Torah. And therefore, you have a din of Ohel with regards to It's called Bnei Yaakov, the Bnei Noach, meaning that certain shoshalot of unique individuals like Adam, Noach, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov will have Tumata Oel, similar to the way that Bnei Yisrael have Tumata Oel after Matan Torah. Right, this obviously has implications because Tumat Ohel for a Goy has major implications for Kohanim and for other issues about people being buried. And therefore, if they don't have Tumat Ohel, it's a much easier to deal with. Rather, if the Goyim also have Tumat Ohel, then you extend as a lot more Tumah or issues that you would have to deal with. All right. So now the Gemara continues and says, in order to rectify the problem, he's now Tamei the Nazir. He has to sprinkle on himself on the third and the seventh day, and it undermines his Nazirut. And then he can only start counting Nazirut after he completes the process of Tahara. Ivailu, Hadiktani Achi Taher, when it says in the Mishnah that his Nazirut is suspended until he is Tahor, and then he starts or restarts the Nazirut at that point in time. What does that mean? Bishvi'i kai ad avid herev shemesh? Is it that it's talking about the seventh day until the sun sets? Umani Rabbi Eliezerhi. And who's the author of this position? This is Rabbi Eliezer, who we saw backed out on Daf Yud Chet, where there was a machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer as to when a Nazir Tamei restarts his count. Does he restart his count after he is Tahor? Does he only restart his count after he's brought his Korbanot? So the Chachamim believed that it's only after he brings his Korbanot. Rabbi Lezer believed it was after he was Tahor. Over there, there's also Machloket Rishonim. As to when Rabbi Lezer says he starts when he's Tahor, when does that mean? The Mefaresh explains it, and the Girsonar Gemara follows that, is that after he's really Tahor. Tahor means that he goes to the mikveh on the seventh day, after he's been sprinkled on the third and the seventh day. He's now a Tvul Yom. The sun sets on the seventh day. Now he's Tahor the Gamre. He's Mechusar Kapara. So he has to bring Korbanot on the eighth day. Now that Mechusar Kapara we've discussed earlier might be different than other Mechusarei Kapara with regards to Nazir Tameh. But he has to bring the Korbanot and then he restarts his count according to the Chachamim. When the Mefaresh explains it for Rabbi Eliezer, he's allowed to start the count right after sunset on the seventh day. He doesn't have to wait for the Korbanot in order to start his count. And that's what's mentioned over here. When does he start? Is this Mishnah according to Rabbi Eliezer, which means Achi Teher Bishvi'i, till it becomes Tahor on the seventh day, which means Ad Avid Herav Shemesh, when the sun sets on the seventh day, that's when he starts his count, and that's Rabbi Eliezer. Odilma Bishmini Koi. Maybe it's time at the eighth day, Umay Achi Teher Achi Vi Korbanotav. What does it mean, until he becomes Tahor? It means until he brings his Korbanot, Umani, and who's the author of that position? Rabbonani. That'd be the Shito of the Rabbonon. Tosafot, on the other hand, says that Rabbi Eliezer believes that on Shvi'i you start counting means literally on the seventh day. After you go to the mikveh on the seventh day, you can start your count for the new Nizirut. You do not need Herav Shemesh. So for him, obviously, he cannot have the Girsa in our Gemara of Ad Avid Herav Shemesh. The Girsa that the Tosafot has is Hadik Tani Eshetayer Bishvi'i Kai, and then it goes with Mani Rabbi Eliezer. He skips the next part of the Gemara because it's not true, according to the Tosafot. Tosafot believes that you don't need Herav Shemesh. You only need him to go to the mikveh on the seventh day. And once he's at the full yom on the seventh day, Rabbi Eliezer believes you can start the count. Or, are we talking about the Chachamim, we'll need you to wait to the eighth day after the Korbanot. So the Gemara proves it from the Mishnah we're about to read, which is Tashma, Mediktani Seifa. Seifa here means the Mishnah we're going to read in 3-4 lines here. Matchil Umane Biyad. That Mishnah gives examples of Tumah that are not oker the Nizirut. They do not undermine the Nizirut. And he can continue counting afterwards. Some of them don't stop his count at all. Some of them suspend his count for the period of time, but then he restarts the count afterwards. But here it says, Matchil Umunem Biyad. When he restarts the count, he starts right away. Ha Reisha, Mayad Shi Taher. I mean that the Reisha can't be the same what the Seifa says. The Seifa says you start right away. Meaning that in the Reisha, you're not starting right away. What does that mean, Achi Taher? Achi Vi Korbanotav. Umani Rabbonan Hi, Damre Nizirut de Tarad, Shmini Lo Chaylo. Nizirut of Tarad only starts up on the eighth day. So here you can see from the Diuk out of the Seifa what the Reisha meant. The Seifa says you start counting right away, which implies by the Reisha you do not start counting right away. Who has the opinion that you don't start counting right away? That is the Sheet of the Chachamim that you need to wait to the eighth day and bring your Korbanot. Because according to Rabbi Lezer, you start right away as well. Whether that's according to Tosafot when he's at Tvul Yom, according to The Mefaresh means after sunset, but that'd be the same Miyad. And there would be no difference between the Reish and the Seifa then. So that's the Gemara proves from that Diuk that the case of the Reish of Achi Teher means after Korban Otav, and it's following the Shita of the Chachamim. Right, now we begin the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah here describes Tum'ot that are Tmeimet, but they don't have the same effect as the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah, if he became Tmeit Tumatameit, it was Oker, his Nizirut, he stopped his Nizirut, but not only did he stop it, it undermined anything he had done beforehand, and then he restarts the count, which is from scratch, or depending on what we saw earlier in the Masechta, if it's a Nazir Merubeh, if it's a longer Nazirut, then it might be that if he doesn't have to restart from the beginning, if he has sufficient time afterwards where he can count. Right. So that's all based on the different Shita that we saw earlier in the Masechta, but here, it does not undermine it whatsoever. Again, as I mentioned before, in some instances, it suspends the Nazirut during that period of time. That doesn't count, but it's not Oker. In other cases, it just counts straight through. The examples that are brought here in this Mishnah are examples that are both Tumot, that don't reach the threshold that's necessary to be Oker, the Nizirut, but they are also Tumot that are only Tamei Midrabanan, and that might be why it doesn't affect the Nizirut. Aval, Hasechachot ve'Paraot, so Sechachot and Paraot, the Gemara will explain, that's the first thing that the Gemara will explain, so I will wait or suspend to talk about that until the Gemara. But these are tumot that involve a certain amount of safek with them. And since there's a safek associated with them, seemingly the person who comes into this position is only tamei midrabanan. Since they're only tamei midrabanan, therefore they're not going to affect the nizirut, even though the rabbanan would say that you're tamei tumatmeit, we don't make it that the din derabanan is also oker the nizirut. Ubeita pras, which we've seen numerous times in Shas, that's a field in which there was a kever that was plowed over, and now we're afraid that the bones, the skeletal remains, have been spread all over the field. Over there, the Chachamim established that 100 amot in every direction has a din of beta pras, or a din of possibility that there was a kever lost in this location, because the plow carries the bones that type of distance. So here we're afraid of the bones. There it's mostly tumat maga, or tumat haseit, which is that you're going to come into contact with the bones or you're going to cause them to move, not the problem of ohel, because we assume now that the skeletal remains have been dispersed over the field. So now we're no longer worried about tumat ohel. But again, this is all an imposition midrabanan. If you went through a beit pras, you're tamei, but only midrabanan. Min haTorah, you're not tamei because we're not sure that you came into contact with the tumat. Ve'eretz ha'amim, we've seen this also early in the Masechta, and it's going to come up on today's daf again, which is Eretz Amim means when you leave Eretz Yisrael, there's Tuma in Eretz Amim that was Nigzar Yedei Dechachamim, and that Tuma causes a suspension of the Nizirut. The Mefarish asks, why is this different than what we saw there in the Masechta, that if you take a Neder Nizirut B'chutz Taretz, and then you come into Eretz Yisrael, that it's Oker the Nizirut, and you have to start again. Now this is different then what we saw early in the Masechta, that if one takes a neder nizirut in Chutz Laaretz, and then comes into Eretz Yisrael, we had the machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, as to whether he has to restart the whole nizirut when he comes into Eretz Yisrael, or does he just have to do 30 days when he comes into Eretz Yisrael? That machloket is because he started the nizirut be'Eretz Amim, he started it in Chutz Laaretz. Therefore, when he comes into Eretz Yisrael, he has to do something new. Here is a case where he started in Eretz Yisrael, then exited, went out to Chutz Laaretz, became Tamei, Tumat Eretz Amim, and then returns. Over here, it's not going to have the same din, like Beit Hillel says, we got to start all over again, or Beit Shammai says you need 30 days. Here, it's simply suspended because of the fact that he started the whole process in Eretz Yisrael. So when he goes out to Eretz Amim, the Chachamim imposed a suspension because of that. Or you could just frame it that Chutz Laaretz is just a place that's not Ra'u even a Zirut. If you started your Nizirut there, then it's also not Ro'i L'Nizirut. Like, just like a Beit HaKvarot is not a place that's Ro'i L'Nizirut. And therefore, you can't start your count. And when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to start again. But the same is true when you leave Eretz Yisrael. When you leave Eretz Yisrael, it's not a place that's Ro'i to counting Nizirut. So you'll go into suspended form, and you'll have to wait until you turn to Eretz Yisrael to count your Nizirut. And that'll be the difference between starting and in the middle. It's the same din. It's just a question of how that din applies to you. If you started there, then you never started your Nizirut. On the other hand, if you go out to the Eretz Amim, you have now stopped or suspended your Nizirut while you're in Eretz Amim. Once you return to Eretz Yisrael, you continue with the Nizirut. And the din is really the same din. Va'golel va'dofek. Golel and dofek are subject to a machloket Rashi and Tosafot throughout Shas. Here, Tosafot mentions it b'ktzara. Rashi believes that the golel and dofek are basically the stones that are put around the mate. They put up stones next to the mate, and then a stone that covers over the mate. That's the golel and the dofek. The dofek are the walls on the side around the mate. The golel is the top layer that sits on top of the mate, the stones on top of the mate. Today, in Eretz Yisrael, when they buried, they do a similar thing, is that they frame out the kever with stones around the side, and then they put stones on top of the mate before they start to bury the mate. So a similar idea of the golel and dofek, that's what Rashi thinks is the golel and dofek. Then the Baalei Tosafot give a somewhat cryptic description of it. My understanding and what it seems the most sense to explain is, if you go, you can see this in Beit She'arim up north, you can see it in Yerushalayim, you can see it in places where there are catacombs that have the dead buried inside. The catacombs are quarried out of the bedrock into the side of the mountain, and then they bury Meitim there. But there's no door. When you walk out of that area that has all the Meitim, there's nothing in front of the door. There's nothing stopping animals from going in there. There's nothing stopping people from going in there. So what they used to do is they used to create a large wheel, a large circular stone, which they would roll in front of the doorway. When you roll it in front of the doorway, you also have to keep it in place so it doesn't roll away. Equivalent of a car that you have the wheels and you're afraid that they're going to roll. So you put a little rubber wedge in there to hold the wheel so they won't roll. So the same thing over here. When you wheel the stone in front, you put a wedge in there to hold the stone in place. So the golel is like a wheel, which is the wheel that they roll in front. The reason it has to be a wheel is because they need to open it again when they want to bury someone else. So they wheel it in front. The dofek are those wedges that hold that wheel in place. That's the golel and dofek that we're speaking about here. They have a din of tumah. And that tumah, even though it does convey tumah, and it is tumah tameh, nevertheless, it does not undermine the nizirut. Revi'at dam, va'ol v'rova atzamot. Now, over here, it's not clear whether we have two or three items. Goes to Maritz to the Rishonim, it's revi'at dam, and ol of rova atzamot, meaning that there's one category, and that is revi'at dam, because we know by nazir, chatzi loga dam is the threshold by which, if he comes to me, tumat, ol, but the chatzi loga dam, that's when he's megaleach. But over here, it's a revi'at dam. Now, truthfully, anything below a chatzi log would have this din. So why did the Mishnah mention revi'at dam? Because that's the next stop down. A chatzi log. Then yeah, if you're not going to do a chatzi log, then revi'at log. But that doesn't mean that anything above a revi'at log would be different. It's anything below a chatzi log would have the din that it's not okay or the nizirut. Now, rova atzamot is the same thing. Mishnah says chatziya kav atzamot is mitameh ba'ol to undermine the nazir. On the other hand, over here, rova atzamot is mitameh ba'ol to make him tameh, but it's not okay nazirut. Along the lines of what we saw in the Mishnah in Olot, that the thresholds there for tumat ol are revi'at adam and rova kav atzamot. And then the word ol is just a part of rova atzamot. The ol that has rova atzamot in it, even though it's tameh, it's not causing the nazir to have to be okay his nizirut. On the other hand, the Rambam believes that ol is another category, and ol is something in which there is tumat ol. So say there's a cadaver, there's a mate inside the house, then the ol is the house that surrounds it. The ol itself, if you touch it, you become tameh. That's what the Rambam claims in the Perish Mishnayot here, that the word ol actually brings us a separate category. Umash amar v'ol. What our Mishnah says when it says ol is rotzolamar shnagaba ol amet. He touched the ol amet. So see, the Rambam here calls ol another category of tumah, where there is tumah, but there is no undermining of the nizirut. Coming into contact with the ol itself makes you tameh. That's the tumah that's being mentioned here. Even though it makes you tameh, it's not okay in nizirut. That's what the Rambam claims. Bekelim anogim bemet. Now here, there's a lot of controversy about this statement here. Bekelim anogim bemet. Now, kelim nogim bemet aren't a problem because any clay that touches a mate then becomes an ava tumah. And then it only conveys to the next level of tumah, which is a rishon tumah, which is tumat erev. And therefore it should not be oker than nizirut inherently because it doesn't have the requisite level of Tumah. So that's why many explain over here, B'kalim HaNogim B'meit is possibly talking about Kalim that are taking on the properties of the mate, which is Cherev HaRehu Kechlal. Then when you're talking about a Cherev, when you're talking about items that come into contact with the mate itself, they become a Via Volta Tumah. And then the Tumah that they convey would make you into an Ava Tumah. That revolves around the machloket we saw yesterday as to that din, Cherev HaRehu Kechlal. Does it only apply to a sword? Does it apply to all metal utensils? Does it apply to all utensils in general? So that question revolves around this lashon in the Mishnah, and also will revolve around a diuk we're going to make in a second in the Gemara. Then, ubimei sifro, ubimei gemaro. When it comes to a mitzorah, a nazir was plagued with tzarat, and then he was determined to be tamei tumat tzarat. Mei gemaro means when he is in seclusion, when he's pushed out of the machaneh, when he's declared a nazir. B'mei Svaro is the case after he's already on the process of Tara. He begins the process of Tara where he comes, he brings the birds, he dips one of them in the water, he shechs the other one, and he sets them free, and then he shaves all of his hair, and then he begins a 7-day count where he has to be a chutz min ha'ohel, but he's allowed to return to the machaneh. During those 7 days, that's called Yemei Sfiro. That's the days that he's counting, and then he again shaves again on the 7th day and brings his korbanot on the 8th day. So both of those, Yemei Sfiro, Mizir Megaro, Alei Lehu, in a Nazir Megalech. Nazir does not, Megalech means that he is not Oker, his Nazirut, he does not have the korbanot Tumah of the Nazir. Umazeh B'Shlishi U'B'Shvi'i, he still has to become Tahor from Tumah Tameit, Ve'inu Soter et HaKodmim. But nevertheless, it does not undermine the previous days. Even though, as Tosfot points out, some of these tumot do require hazat, shlishi and shvi'i, like revi'it adam, the golel, the dofek, and the rova kavatzamot, because those are tumot midoraita. They just don't reach the threshold of tumah that is oker than nizirut. But we have other tumot here, which are only tumot midrabanan. But what the Mishnah is saying is that even in those cases where you do have azat shlishi v'shvi, enu megalech aleim, you don't have to be oker the nizirut. Umatchilu moneh miyad. And as soon as he's tahor, he continues his count, does not start a fresh count. Yeah. As the Mefarish points out over here, he will start from wherever he left off, he'll start again. But by the case of a mitzorah, he'll need a minimum of 30 days. Because a mitzorah is part of his process of tara, shaves his body, all of his hair. So he'll need the 30 days just to grow his hair back to the point where he could shave it to be a nazir. That's Rabbi Elazar's opinion, it's 7 days, but it's only achar malot. But in the middle of your nazirut, everybody agrees you need the 30 days. That 30 days will be a minimum for a mitzorah. Not because anything happened to the previous nazirut, it's a technicality that he needs his hair to grow back to the point where he can shave his hair at the end of nazirut. So for the mitzorah, it'll be the lesser of 30 days or the remaining days in his nazirut. For everyone else, it'll just be the remaining days in his nizirut that he completes now. Be'emet amru. Be'emet usually means that we have a mesorah, or it's Allah of the Moshe Mesinai. Yimei azov v'azavah, v'yimei azgero shel mitzorah yelo olim lo. That there's certain tumult that not only do you not, okay, undermine the nizirut from its beginning, but you also don't suspend the nizirut. The nizirut remains intact through the whole period of time. And that is, a zav and a zavah. You have Tumat Zav and Zavah, which involved a lengthy process of Tarat, 7 days, you need Shiva Nikiim, you need to be in Korbanot on the 8th day, possibly. That process, or that Tumat of Zav and Zavah, do not undermine the Nizirut whatsoever. So very good. So we already had a Limud earlier, which was that we learned out from Motam, and that you would only become Tamei from Motam, but Nigam and Zivatam, over there, there's no problem of becoming Tamei. So that the restriction of a Kohen, the restriction of a Nazir to become Tameh is only b'motam. It's only about mitomata mita, but not about tumat nega and tumat zav. What the issue of the mission, what the mission is trying to address here is, you're right, tumat zav will not be oker the nizirut. But there's another in-between category, which is that we suspend the nizirut while you're Tameh. And that's what happens with the mitzorah. The mitzorah goes into a suspended nizirut, which you have to wait. And then once he's tahor, he restarts his count from wherever he left off. But there's still a suspension. What the Mishnah is telling you here is that there's no suspension here. In the case of Tumat Zav Vizavah, you just continue counting straight through, even though you're Tameh at that point in time. V'mehezgero. Mehezgero is a third time period when a person is a mitzorah. The three stages are hezger, which is when the original nega comes to the kohen and can't make a determination as to whether it's tamei or tahor. You go into hezger. You wait 7 days of hezger to find out what the din is after those 7 days. You might have to go again, 14 days, 21 days. There's a whole process by which the kohen makes a determination as to whether this is tzarat. That mehezger. Over there, there's certain dinim that are similar to a full-fledged mitzorah, some that are different. But what the Mishnah says over here, one of the big differences is that during the case where it's chaluto, when you're completely determined to be a mitzorah, your nizirut goes into suspension, and you don't count those days towards your nizirut. On the other hand, during the days of Ezger, you do count them towards your nizirut. And that's what the Mishnah concludes, Ari Olimlo. That in the case of Zav, Zava, and a Mitzorah, B'mehezgero, not only do you not undermine the Nizirut, you don't even suspend the Nizirut. The Nizirut is if it is continued straight through these Tumot. And that's despite the fact that Tumat Mitzorah is deemed to be like Tumat Ameit. Nevertheless, the Chiddush here is that by B'mehezgero, he still has the right to continue counting his Nizirut. Now, the Gemara here says, Ve'eluhein Hasechachot. What is the case of sechachot in the Mishnah? Ilana meisech al aretz. It's an ilan that spreads out over the ground, or basically creates an ohel. Upiraot are avanim ayotzot ben agader. Those are stones that stick out of the fence. Now, in both these instances, we know that there is some tumah under the tree, or there is some tumah under these stones. We're just uncertain as to which branch of the tree, what part of the tree is mahil on this, or which of the stones that protrudes from the geder is mahil over here. And that's what Tosafot says, Dimidoraita, lav oel ma'alyo. That the tree here is not a full-fledged oel. Shanafim rechokim zemizeh, because the branches are far apart. Ve'im ba'em poteach tefach, and they don't have a poteach tefach. They're missing some of the requisite rules of oel. V'rabbananu de gazra tumah b'holeich tachtav. The Chamimra goes to Tumah if you walk under the tree. So Tosfot says that this tree doesn't even qualify as an Oel because it doesn't have a width of a Tefach. And then many Rishonim believe that it is a proper Ohel. It's just that there is a Safek here. Where we know there is some Tumah under some of those branches there. It really should be Safek Tumah Berushut Arabim. It should be Tahor. Nevertheless, we say that you are Tamei, but that imposition is only Midrabanan. The same is true with the stones that protrude out of the wall that is next to the cemetery, and he walks under the one of those stones, the Chamimra goes there tuma on that person that walked under that stone, even though again it's a fake tuma b'rishut harabim is tahor. Nevertheless, they were gozer in this case that you are tamei. So what the Bali and Tosafot say is that the case of schachot and peraot are tuma midrabanan. There is a safek doraita here because there's a possibility that it was mahil on you and the tuma. But nevertheless, since it's a safek, and we have a principle, safek, tumah b'rishut harabim is tahor, here you'd be deemed to be tahor. Nevertheless, the Rabbanan said, we don't want you to be tahor, the gamrei, because you acted improperly in a sense, or you risked becoming tamei. Therefore, they impose tumah on these individuals who pass under these stones, or go under this tree, even though it's not doraita, the Rabbanan is tumah. And what the Mishnah is telling us is those tumot, even though they are tumah tameit, nevertheless, they do not affect the nizirut, to be okerit mi'ikaro, but rather they just go into a suspended phase, in which then the Nazir has to take care of his tumah, and then he can resume the count that he had started before. And the Rosh points out that that's all because it's b'shut harabim. But eno chanami, if this safek came up b'shut hayachid, then it would be safek tumah b'shut hayachid mich midoraito is tamei. And then there would be a din tumah of midoraito. And he writes over here, Aval b'rishut ha'yachid avi tumah d'oraita v'soteru mevi korban. And that would undermine his nizirut, and he would have to bring a korban, because that's the din of safek tumah b'rishut ha'yachid. That is badai tamei mi d'oraita. Right now, the Gemara continues with the Mishnah of Eretz Amim. Eretz Amim is also a tumah mi d'rabanan. Ibailu, Eretz Amim mishum avira gazualea, odilma mishum gusha gazualea. When we talk about chutz laretz, is it tamei because the Chachamimer goes there not only on its ground, but on its airspace? Or is the Gzera limited to the physical land, but not to the Avir? Tashma. You can prove from our Mishnah which of those is true. Umaze b'shlishi u'bishvi'i. Our Mishnah says that you sprinkle on them on the third and seventh day. V'yamart mishum avira. If you say it's because of the airspace, hazal lamali. Why do you need hazah over here? Elalav. It must be mishum gusha. Must be that it's because of the ground that is tameh. The Gemara here makes it clear that when we talk about tumat agush, or tumah of the ground, that is a more chamor level of tumah than that of tumat avir. Based on this, back on Daf Yutet Amud Bet and Chaf Amud Aleph, we had a gisser in our Gemara that tried to explain the machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai about someone who is an Eretz Amim. And if you're an Eretz Amim, what's your status with regards to the Nezirot? The Gemara over there proposed that their difference has to do with whether they think that Tumat Eretz Amim is Tumat Gush, or is it Tumat Avir. And there it seems to indicate that if you believe it's Tumat Avir, that would be more Chamor. Not only is the ground Tameh, but also the Avir is Tameh. And that'll be the position of Beit Hillel, and that's why Beit Hillel makes you start over your account when you come into Eretz Yisrael. But then Beit Shammai will say that it's only Tameh Tumat Gush, which is the core halacha, since he's not machmir over there, so too, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, he's not machmir. That's the way the Gemara reads according to the Mefaresh, and that's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. Tosafot over there, the Rosh as well, say that the girsa is incorrect. How do I know that? From our Gemara over here. Our Gemara over here makes it clear that if you believe that there's Tumat Avir is the Kula, not the Chumrah. The Gemara says it's obvious that if it's Tumat Avir, you wouldn't need to be sprinkled on the third and seventh day. Whereas it's Tumat Gush, you would need sprinkling of the Paraduma on the third and seventh day. Which means that Tumat Agush is more Chamor than Tumat Avir. And therefore the Baal HaTosfot will flip the girsa back on Yotenu Mebet Daf Chof to say that Beit Hillel is talking about the Gush, because the Gush is the thing that's Chamor and has full-fledged Tumat. And Beit Shammai says Mishum Avira Gazru, which is a lower level of Tumat, because Avir is just not going to have that level of Tumat Agush. And therefore that explains why Beit Shammai is Mekel over there. So Tosafot flips the girsa because of what's suggested in our Gemara over here. Now Tosafot here discusses what does it mean that they were gozer al Tumat Avir, which he says over here, Kegon, Melech b'shida teva u'migdal, dolot yoter mimem sha'a she'mekablim Tumat. Well, gesher eretz amim, or nechnas b'koron or b'svina, someone walks over a bridge, someone comes in on a wagon or in a boat, an airplane, she'chmiru ba yoter mimba'o amet. Here they are metameh yoter mi'o'al amet, k'dei shelo yetzei me'aretz l'chutz aretz. So here we start to get back, we discussed this back on Daf Yotet and Chof, and so what's the reason that there goes here tuma on eretz amim? So here Tosafot starts to explain that it was a disincentive for going to chutz aretz. And therefore they are machmir, that it makes it into tuma to ol, even if you enter in a way which would not be considered an ol, usually for tuma amet. If you go in a boat, if you're going in a wagon, if you go across it on a bridge, where there normally would not be Tumat Ohel. Nevertheless, over here, there will be Tumat Ohel because the whole incentive or the whole reason is to disincentivize you from going into Chutzaretz. If we allow you to go in a wagon, we allow you to go in a boat, then there's no disincentive anymore. So it has to be that's what it means when they were Gozer al Tumat Avir. Odilma Mishum Gusha Davka. Or maybe it's definitely for the gush, which means that they weren't gozer mishum avir, they were just gozer mishum agush. Mishum agush means the ground itself. But that means there's still tumat ol there. But it's more classic ma'il agusha, gazru k'misha yil ala mate. It's more classic type of tumat ol, which is just like by tumat ol over the mate. So it's over here, we're talking about tumat ol over the ground. But then, what's the reasoning behind the gzera? It says, mipnei meitei mabul. Because those that died in the Mabul were dispersed all over the world, and they're buried in haphazard places where we don't know. So that means that there's possibility of Tumat Amet all over the place. O Mipnei, Rov Yisrael Shner Gu B'Chutz La'aretz. For the fact that many Jews were killed in the Chutz La'aretz, and therefore you might be Mahio Al, the Kever of a Jew, or someone who you don't know where they are buried. So for that Chashash, the Chamim said that there is Tumat Amim. It's also Tumata Oel, but it's more classic type of Oel, which is it's Oel on the Gush. And then if you're Gozer Mishum Avir, it means not only is the Gush itself Tameh when you're Ma'il on it, but period, if you enter into the airspace, you are Tameh, even if you enter in ways that normally would protect you from Tumah, because we're trying to disincentivize you from going into Eretz Amim. On the other hand, the Mefaresh here explains that Tumat Avir means that you can become Tameh even though you haven't touched the ground. Once you enter into its airspace, the airspace has the same din as the ground itself. And not like Tosafot is suggesting over here that it's an expansion on the concept of Tumat Ohel, and whether it works just like Tumat Ohel or works as an enhanced Tumat Ohel because Avir is Mitameh even in times or objects that you would otherwise be protected from in Ohel. And the Rosh indicates that Tumat Avir is a Tumat that's not associated with Tumat Mate at all, but rather a measure to prevent people from exiting into Chutz La'aretz. As the Rosh formulates it over here, Im Kein, lo gazru alei mishum Tumat, el chumra ba'alma yechmir alei kidei, shalei yitzei adam ma'aretz l'chutz La'aretz. Meaning that that's the chumra. The chumra is there, instituted, to stop the people or reinforce this idea that we don't want you going into Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, Hazal Omali. There's no reason for Hazah if the whole Tumah is just instituted as a Chumrah Ba'alma in order to prevent people leaving Eretz Yisrael. Back on Yutet Amad Bet and Chav Horav, I explained the concept of the Kedushat Aretz versus the Ikdushah, the lack of Kedushah in Chutz La'aretz, and how the Navi terms that as being both Tahor and Tameh, calls Chutz La'aretz Tumah, and that might have been the impetus for that Takanat Chachamim, which is, that's the way that the Tanakh describes Chutz La'aretz, which is that it's a makom tameh. And so to reinforce that, that that's a place that it lacks the Shekhinah. So they made it Tumah, because Tumah, as we described over there, back on Yotan Amud Bet and Chaf Amud Aleph, is a vacuum of Kedushah, or a vacuum of the presence of the Shekhinah. So like it's true by a cadaver, so too it's true about Chutz La'aretz. And therefore the Gzeirah, the Takanah of Chutz La'aretz, was to reflect that lack of Dushar, that lack of Ashkacha Pratit of Hashem. That's why they were Gozer. That's what I suggested possibly as being the reason for Tumat Eretz Amim. So what you're asking is what level Tumat is. From here, our Gemara, it seems clear that it's Tumat Magam, Masai, and Ohel. And that's what it says. The only question is what type of Ohel? Is it your standard Ohel, which means that it's Tumat Gush? That's when you say it's only the Gush that is Tameh. Or is it a super Ohel, which means that even Avira is Tameh, even if you enter into the Avir? Tosfot questions that because we have a Mishnah in Ohalot that says that there is Tumat Magam Asa and does not mention Tumat Ohel. She says, how do you reconcile that with our Gemara? So he brings three possibilities about how to explain it. One possibility is that over there it's talking about a case where you brought in earth from Chutz La'aretz into Eretz Yisrael. So that's one possibility. Rabbeinu Tam says that there were different periods of times of Gzeirot. This is the Gzeira Achrona where they added in this extra level of Tumat Ohel. Mishnah Olot is talking about an earlier time. He also brings the last possibility is that there's a difference between this and Tumat Ohel. Tumat Ohel, as soon as your finger, anything of your body goes into the Ohel, you're Tameh. By Eretz Amim, you need Rosho Virubo in order to be Tameh. Alright, so now, the Gemara over here wants to prove from the fact that our Mishnah says that you have to get Tara to Azat, Shlishi and Shvi, that we have to be talking about real, full-fledged type of Tumah. Therefore, the Tumah of Eretz Amim must be Tumat Agush, which is the physical land, but not Tumat Avir. Gemara says, no, the Olam Amim Elecha Mishum Avira. No, maybe it is that Tumat Eretz Amim even includes Avir, even includes the airspace. V'chik Tani Ashara. And when the Mishnah says you have to become Tahor on the third and seventh day, that's not for all the cases in the Mishnah. That's for the cases that are relevant. The third and seventh day becoming Tahor. Where it says, Achanami Mistabra. That makes a lot of sense because Minikhtani v'chelim and ugim b'meit. Kelim that touch the meit. Hani kelim b'nei hazayinun. These kelim require hazaah. Elishma minah ashara. Must be talking about something else. Because if a nazir comes into contact with these kelim touch the meit. Meit is avotah tumah. The kelim are avatumah. The person who touches them is a rishon the tumah. There's no avaminah that it should be okay, but there's clearly no reason to have Shlishi and Shvi, because he's not even Tameh Tumat Shiva. He's Tameh Tumat Erev. And so he needs is the mikveh. So that, of course, that can't be what the Mishnah is talking about when it says, goes Hazat Shlishi and Shvi. So what do you have to answer there? Shma Minah Ashara. It's talking about the other items of the Mishnah. So it's not just this case of Tumat Eretz Amim, but it's also the cases of Kelim that also don't require it. This is Maleh. You can see there's a large Tosfot at the bottom. The different shitot as to regards to what are kelim and ogim b'meit. So the way that the question is presented is, Why does the Gemara answer here that it's Ashara? Just say that the Kelim that we're speaking about in the Mishnah are Kelim that have a dinah, Cherev Harehu Kechlal, that they become on the same status as the mate. And everyone you come into contact with them, then you're Tamei Tumat Shiva. So that's basically how Tosafot gets into the question, why didn't the Gemara answer that? Here, Vim Tomar, Velishne Eilad, Ani Kelim, Klei Metachot Mari. That's why they were talking about Metala Kelim. V'omer Rabbeinu Tam, Darkocha Lo Metukma Metina Meklei Metachot. Our Mishnah can't be talking about metallic kelim. Dimken an azir megaleach. Techerev harehu kechlal. That's why the Gemara didn't give that reason. So now, basically what the Rabbeinu Tam suggests over here, and we saw this in yesterday's daf, that the Rabbeinu Tam believes that the din of cherev harehu kechlal is not just about a cherev, it's about any metallic kli. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, shita that cherev harehu kechlal applies even to klei matechot, why didn't the Gemara answer here that we're talking about or speaking about klei matechot? The answer is because Rabbeinu Tam says, if it really was klei matechot, then not only would you need hazat shlishi ushvi, it would also be okir than a zirut. And that's why the Gemara couldn't go in that direction or couldn't answer in that manner. Chaim HaKohen argues against the Rabbeinu Tam's position here and says that yes, maybe klei matechot do have a din of cherev harehu kechlal, but a nazir is not megaleach on them, and he brings proof from the Tosefta. He also has a whole poetic criticism of the Rabbeinu Tam Shita here about how we have houses that are built with metal nails that are definitely tumata meit, and then how could the Kohen live in such a house? But he says in the end that you're right, that klei matechot do require azat shlishi and shvi, but they're not oker than a zirut meikara, because the akirat nezirut, or the nazir is only megaleach, and items that come directly from the meit, tuma that comes from the meit himself, not the tukuma that comes from derivatives of the meit. But then you have to ask the question, why didn't the Gemara answer here that our mission is talking about klei matechot? That would have been the perfect answer. They require azat shlishi and shvi'i, but they're not okir the nezirut meikara. They don't force the nazir to be megaleach. So in the end, the answer is that the Gemara knew that the Mishnah in explaining shlishi and shvi'i is ashara. It's going on the other items, because there are other items in the list of the Mishnah that don't have azat shlishi and shvi'i, like a mitzorah. So you do have the opportunity to explain the Mishnah as being ashara, and why not take that opportunity here as well, because then you can include all kelim and not just the klei matechot. From this Gemara, it's pretty clear, and Tosfot criticizes heavily the shita of the Rav Yitzchak Misimpont, whose shita we saw yesterday brought in the Rosh, that any kli that has tarav mikveh is subject to arei cherev harehu kechlal, because if that's the case, what's the Gemara's question over here, that the kelim don't require hazat shlishi and shvi? According to him, they always require hazat shlishi and shvi. And he would have to set up the case here as being kelim that are not nitar b'mikveh. That's a narrow set of kelim, and it should have been, the Gemara should have specified, or the Mishnah should have specified that. Okay, we're up here at the bottom of Nundalit Amud Bet.